Legislators and the DNR Director of Forestry are working to restore some funding to the Haines State Forestry Office. And the Sitka Tribe of Alaska plans to launch a commercial lab to test for paralytic shellfish poisoning in gooey duck clams. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Legislators representing Haines aren't giving up yet on restoring some funding for the Haines State Forestry Office, which employs two foresters. But the director of forestry says the best outcome he sees is keeping just one seasonal position in town. When Representative Sam Keto III visited Haines on April 3rd, he talked to Roy Josephson, one of two local foresters who are at risk of losing their jobs with proposed state budget cuts. Here's Keto.
I'm going to keep working to make sure that it doesn't happen. Of course, I can't guarantee anything, but it's one of those things where a job lost in Haines is like 100 jobs or more being lost in Anchorage.
On the same day that Keto was in Haines, Representative Dennis Egan was in Juneau on the Senate floor. He introduced an amendment to the state operating budget that would restore funding for one of the Haines forester positions.
This amendment is a small amendment, but it makes a big difference in my district. We'd have no boots on the ground. And Mr. President, the Haines State Forest is a model of multiple use. We should hold it up as the right way to manage a whole lot more of Alaska's lands.
But the amendment didn't pass. 5 senators voted for it, 15 were against it. At the end of the day, the Senate passed a budget proposal that kept in the dramatic cuts to the State Division of Forestry, which the House originally proposed.
We're actually going to be, laying off close to 35 or 36 employees division-wide. And unfortunately, the Haines are two of those positions.
Chris Maish is the director of the Division of Forestry. He says he's looking at all corners of the division for pockets of money to move to Haines.
We realize we really need to have at least a position in Haines, even though it might have to be a seasonal position. The problem is, of course, I don't have a lot of extra funds. I'm pretty confident we can probably pull a rabbit out of the hat and figure out a seasonal position.
Maish says that seasonal position would be for about 6 or 8 months out of the year. He says scraping together money for one full-time position is not likely, and it's especially unlikely for both of the forester positions.
Yeah, right now what we're looking at is trying to retain one seasonal position.
Maish says Haines is one of the communities that will be hardest hit by the forestry cuts, since it basically zeroes out the entire local forest management. Without a Haines forester, timber sales and other forestry duties would need to be remotely managed.
We can do some of that oversight from afar, but that's not the best way to do that. But we can make it work if we have to do it from either Ketchikan or Juneau.
Maish says Haines has also been one of the most vocal communities in expressing concern about the forestry cuts. But with the kind of funding shortfall he's facing, he doesn't think there's much else that can be done except trying for that seasonal position. Senator Egan's legislative staff says the senator plans to keep pushing for reallocation of forestry funds to Haines. Keto is on the same page.
My goal will be to work with DNR to make sure that we have people on the ground in Haines where we actually have a forest. And that's one of those things that's really important, I think, for our state. We do have a forestry division, and where we actually are touching that forest, we need to have people on the ground. My goal is to work with the department to make sure they understand that and find ways within the funding that they have to make that happen.
Maish says throughout the budget process, he's kept in touch with the two Haines foresters who could lose their jobs. He knows losing just one job is significant for a small community like Haines.
So we feel it. We understand, and we're trying to be empathetic about this and as smart as we can about where we have to take reductions.
He said those aren't easy decisions to make. Despite the risk of paralytic shellfish poisoning, or PSP, Southeast Alaska has a robust dive fishery that includes gooey duck clams. The harvest depends on weekly testing results from the Department of Environmental Conservation Laboratory in Anchorage. This scenario could change in the not-too-distant future. In part one of a two-part series, KCAW's Emily Kwong reported on efforts by Sitka Tribe of Alaska to monitor the waters of Southeast for PSP. In part two, she tracks their plans to launch a commercial testing lab in Sitka.
These are the geese that lay the golden eggs.
If you've ever seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, you may remember that scene with the golden eggs.
Are they chocolate eggs?
Golden chocolate eggs.
The green-haired Oompa Loompas weigh the eggs on a scale to decide if they're good or bad.
If it's a good egg, it's shined up and shipped out all over the world. But if it's a bad egg, down the chute.
The same could be said for gooey ducks. These giant bivalves with lolling necks like space worms have a high market value, where they're called jiangba bang, or elephant trunk clams in China. Because these clams run the risk of carrying PSP toxins, divers cannot harvest an area before a few of its clams have been sent to the DEC lab and cleared for consumption.
If you're lucky, you get that sample on a plane that day and it gets up to the lab in Anchorage.
Larry Traney is a diver and member of the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association, or SARDFA. Harvest has to happen within a week, which means that by the time divers get a test result, they tend to do all their actual harvest in just one day. And that's not a lot of time. It's dangerous work, which Traney believes could benefit from the kind of lab Sitka Tribe wants to open.
I can see that that would save time on the sampling and give us more days in which to conduct our diving. I think it's an excellent idea.
That's the appeal of a lab in Southeast. One Sitka Tribe hopes will persuade divers like Traney, shellfish growers, and harvesters to relocate some of their testing work to Sitka.
It was two offices, so he removed a wall and made this one large space.
The man with the plan is shellfish biologist Chris Whitehead, who pitched the idea for a biotoxin lab to Sitka Tribe 2 years ago.
I got really busy at writing grants, and somehow they all got funded, and now it's a matter of doing the work.
When we get our like first order, it's going to be like the like Christmas, like, oh my gosh!
Yeah. Jessica Gill is the tribe's fish biologist. The most eagerly anticipated order is for the receptor binding assay, or RBA machine. The machine isn't authorized to test gooey ducks for PSP yet, just mussels and softshell clams. But Chris Whitehead believes that will change soon. And the exciting thing about the machine is that it eliminates the traditional testing method practiced by labs throughout the country.
They run what's called a mouse bioassay. So they inject this slurry of shellfish into a mouse.
And time how long it takes for the mouse to die. Based on that number, the lab can calculate the relative toxicity of the gooey duck for humans. With the RBA method, no mice need be harmed, and Gill, for her part, is relieved.
So it's one thing I could take the lab manager job saying, oh, I'm going to kill a bunch of rats today.
With staff to be trained and tests to launch, the goal is for the lab to become a source of unrestricted funds for the tribe. But among SARDFA and other potential customers I spoke with, the big question on their minds was this. Would the state of Alaska be okay with handing PSP testing over to a commercial entity?
Well, I think that if they achieve FDA certification, that would be a terrific benefit to the Southeast Alaskan communities.
Elaine Bussey-Floyd, the environmental health director of the DEC, said it would be nice to have a lab servicing Southeast, but it's never been done before, and for good reason. The state does PSP testing for free.
So it's possible that the big influx of customers that you might think you were going to get because of being closer, you might not get because you'd be charging and we wouldn't be.
Funding for PSP testing is safe this fiscal year, but that may change with future budget cuts. The lab in Sitka would also have to earn certification from an alphabet soup of agencies, such as the FDA and the International Shellfish Sanitation Commission. Easier said than done. But STA's Chris Whitehead has determination in spades.
For a long time, there's probably been a need to do something like this, and I don't know if I lucked out and just came in the right time to start it or what, but it, doors are opening for us to do this.
Whitehead hopes to win FDA certification by 2017 and to first test shellfish collected through subsistence, by the Southeast Alaska Tribal Toxins Group, or SEAT. It's an ambitious plan, trying to address a basic problem.
It all started out, I just wanted to go dig clams, and I had no one to call to see if it was safe or not.
And Whitehead hopes this little lab that could can answer that call. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. And tune in tonight to KHNS to hear a recording of last week's Mining Forum. That's tonight from 8 to 10 p.m.